Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. It's just you and me, folks. I've got something I want to talk about. As I told you in the previous segment, most of this hour is going to be around on the Internet. But not just about the Internet, but the future of the Internet. What could be happening to the Internet in the future that maybe could put it in jeopardy? Maybe could put your ability to use the Internet in jeopardy. And so let's go back and talk a little bit about some history. It'll help, I think, if we help you understand, if in case you don't already know, help you understand a little bit about the history of where we've been, and to understand that the Internet, as you may not have thought about this. If you listen to my show, you probably have realized it. But somebody has to manage the way the Internet works. And I don't mean the electrical carbon fiber optics backbone. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the governance of the way the Internet works, meaning the way you and I have our own email, our own addresses, email addresses. We have our own domain names for our websites, the URL, the IP addresses, all that. Somebody has to manage all that to make sure that it works. And it does work right now, right? Works like a charm every time, right? Well, let's go back a little bit, and I'll tell you that the Internet was created and managed by the government, by the U.S. government, from the late 60s, somewhere around 69 or so, to the 1990s, to the early 1990s. The government managed all that because, of course, in those days, you and I didn't really have access to the Internet, regular folks. But since then, the government and the private sector has performed, in my opinion, the most dramatic and the most successful example of technology transfer. From transferring the technology from the government, which created, in this case, the Internet, to the private sector, which can take advantage of the technology, right? That's what technology transfer is. The Internet is clearly the best example of that. But that transfer began around 1993 when the world was first allowed. You and I, as I said, you and I were first allowed to use the Internet for commercial purposes. At that point, governance, of the Internet and management of the Internet was based on a contract, and the control of the governance and the management was transferred from the government to a contractor, Network Solutions Incorporated. Now, in the next second half hour, the president of Network Solutions, NSI, the president of that company back in those days, it was Mike Daniels, and he's a member of our Brain Trust. He's going to be here in the second half of the hour to talk about this. So, Network Solutions, the agreement that they had with the government was a very lucrative one because it conveyed a monopoly, basically, on the management, the sale, and the distribution of top domain names like smallbusinessadvocate.com, yourbusiness.com, Sally's hairsalon.com, all that, .biz, .gov, etc. So all of that was being managed by Network Solutions until because it was a monopoly, there was a lot of political pressure on that. And so that contract, when it expired in 1998, the Clinton administration approved the creation of a company called Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, ICANN. You've heard me talk about ICANN for a long time. It's a U.S.-based nonprofit entity that was formed to take over the new contract from the government and away from Network Solutions. It's important, folks, that you note that, again, this transfer of control to a new contractor still maintained U.S. default ownership. The government still had control of this. And even though ICANN is a U.S. company, it operates through a democratic structure. This is something I want you to make sure you understand. A democratic structure with input from executives, from the committees of ICANN, and also overseeing entities currently representing 110 countries around the world. ICANN right now operating that way. But even with all that, for years, various global interests have resented and coveted the ultimate control that the U.S. has maintained over the Internet, not the least of which is the United Nations. And you may remember, over the years, I've reported on this, on this show, with people like Steve Del Bianco, about how other people are wanting control of the Internet. Well, alas, the Obama administration is now proceeding to divest the U.S. of the ultimate authority over the Internet more than a year before the current ICANN agreement expires. And they want a global, as Steve Del Bianco reported here last week, they want a global stakeholder community, and they want ICANN to develop it and take over control. Well, guess what? We already have a global stakeholder community. The U.S. doesn't have to give this up, but the Obama administration is giving up control of the Internet. So, folks, there are all kinds of problems with this. There are all kinds of reasons why we shouldn't want the government, the U.S. government, to give up control of the Internet. And in the next segment, I'm going to talk about some of those things. I'm going to go through some of the reasons why we don't want this to happen. Why if you think about this, folks, for 20 years, more than 20 years, the U.S. government has been allowing the world access to the Internet regardless of what was going on geopolitically, regardless of any war going on or anybody that we consider our enemies. We still allowed them unfettered access to the Internet. Now that's honest stewardship of a global resource. Why would America, why would the world want to give that up, something that's working like that? And that's my question. And folks, here's what I think. Back in 1977, President Carter began the transfer of the Panama Canal. A lot of people didn't like that. They thought that was dangerous. This transfer that's going on right now is going to make the Panama Canal transfer look like the sale of a kid's lemonade stand. That's my prediction. 20 after. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.